coming up on the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast.
So sometimes I've got these obstacles and things in my way. So there's speed bumps, there's detours. That means I have to have something to carry that baggage, that stuff. And so that means I'm in a pickup truck. Now, pickup truck can still move forward pretty fast, but not like the Ferrari. And we got a lot more things to traverse. Now, sometimes you've got all kinds of stuff. You've got family issues. You're taking care of your mother. You're taking care of your kids. You got this issue and that issue. It makes it very, very difficult for you to get things done. And you got to get in the minivan and you got to go a little slower. Now, the thing about all that is all of these vehicles are moving at different speeds, but they're all moving forward. And you have the key to all three. So there's times you're going to get in the Ferrari and just haul it. And there's times you need to be in the minivan. And all you have to decide is what is the best car for me to be in today for what I have in front of me today. And if today's a Ferrari day, cool. If today's a minivan day, cool. If today's a truck day, cool. But what you did that day was you made the positive decisions based on what your lifestyle and needs were that day. And so lifestyle doesn't get in the way. It is the way. It's the road. It's the road you're on.
Hello, and welcome to the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast. I'm Brian Grinn, and I'm here to give you actionable tips to get your body back to what it once was 5, 10, even 15 years ago. Each week, I'll give you an in-depth interview with a health expert from around the world to cut through the fluff and get you long-term sustainable results. This week, I interviewed podcast host of 40 Plus Fitness, author and trainer, Alan Meisner. Alan is the creator of the thriving 40 Plus Fitness community, providing one-on-one and group fitness training, nutritional guidance, and personal training for clients over the age of 40. We discussed Alan's road to losing 66 pounds over 11 months, the importance of consistency for reaching your goals, eating single-ingredient locally grown foods, Alan's tip to exercising as we age, and his one tip to get your body back to what it once was. Really enjoyed my interview with Alan. I know you will too. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy the show. All right. Welcome to the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast. My name is Brian Grinn, and I have Alan Meisner on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian. Good to be here.
Good to have you on. Author, health coach, functional aging. You've studied a bit here and there, right? You had me on your podcast, God, in 2018. So here we are in 2024. And looking forward to learning about a little about yourself and your business. I know we have a lot of similarities in the sense that we do work with 40 plus individuals, right? Is that typically your market?
Yeah, 100%. It's 40 plus fitness is the podcast and 40 plus fitness is the business. So yes.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's a great market. what have you learned through the years? How long have you been coaching 40 plus? And I know you've had your podcast. I know you mentioned over 600 episodes.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 8 years. And a big part of it was I was working corporate and I could have cared less about being a personal trainer. That wasn't even on the radar. The problem I had back then was that I couldn't hire a personal trainer because I was traveling so much for work. You know, it was like, okay, I'm gone 90% of the time. And when you say you're traveling a percentage of time, when you sit down to do the math, that means I'm home 3 days of each month.
Right.
And it's really hard to get going with a personal trainer, particularly when it might be one weekend and then I might not be home for 8 weeks and then I'm home for a weekend. So it made it almost impossible. And I knew that I was trying all these things that I knew, or I would hear about the cool stuff, you know, let's do this insanity workout. Let's do that. Let's try this. And I would try them and it would break me, or I didn't know what I was doing. And so I was like, okay, I need a trainer, but there isn't one. And I knew there was some online training. I started looking into it, but those were mostly for bodybuilders trying to get ready for a competition, like their posing practice or their cutting routine, or we have a power lifter where you're looking at the form of the lift. And like, but I couldn't find just a general online coach. A lot's happened since then, particularly with COVID. So now, yeah, we're we're like weeds, you know, in the yard. There's enough of us that, you know, sometimes you don't see the grass. At the time, I didn't. So I went through and got certified. All my certifications at the beginning were all about training me.
Yeah.
What did I need to know? So I got my certified personal trainer. I went in for corrective exercise. I went in for fitness nutrition, then functional aging. And I used that information and adapted it for what I was learning as I was doing. And that's how I changed my life, changed my fitness, my health. And of course, you know, you have friends around and you lose 66 pounds and, hey, dude, what are you doing? You know? So I was like, okay, well, John, here, I've been thinking about this because it still was, to me, it was ridiculous that there was no one focused on the over 40 market and there was no one talking to us. And as a result, everything that was out there was like stretching for people over 50. It's like, that's all people over 50 was coaching is you buy a book and it's stretching for 50 plus. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Where's the weightlifting for 50 plus? How should a 40 plus person eat and move and do? So I said, well, I'm going to do a podcast and I'm going to put this information out there. And I said, John, if you want to come on as a client, you and your wife, Tammy, I'll show you what I did and I'll do it for you. And so if you go way, way back and you listen to some of the early episodes, which, you know, Apple only shows about 300 of these. So there were episodes before that. I started this in 2015. And so if you go back, you'll see some of those first episodes that were client episodes. I started with someone else and she fell through about 9 weeks in. So I brought in John and Tammy and I started coaching them and I recorded their sessions and played that as podcast episodes. Well, in that 10 weeks, John lost 39 pounds and Tammy lost 28. Now, Tammy couldn't even exercise. Her back was thrown out for most of that 10 weeks. So this was all just talking about what you could do with what you have, where you are, being older, not breaking you or trying not to break you, and then getting it done. And so the coaching worked very well with them. And so at that point, I was like, well, I should probably do this. now I still had a full-time job, so I didn't do it a lot. I took on a few clients here and there and I did that. And then when I got laid off in 2017, that's when I said, okay, I'm going to go full-time. I don't like what I'm doing in my career at this point. I'm ready to do this new thing. So I went full-time training online mostly. Do some a little in person now, but very little. I've been doing that since 2017. And just growing it and enjoying it. I've coached thousands of people since then. So it's been a really good change for me.
Yeah. And you mentioned losing 66 pounds. How long was this over? What was the time period? And what were sort of maybe the high level things that you did to sort of get you down?
Well, it was over 11 months. And in addition to losing that 66 pounds of fat, I gained 11 pounds of muscle, which you're not supposed to be able to do when you're in your 40s.
Right.
I was in my mid 40s. The principles were pretty simple, but it was like, I knew a couple things about myself. And as I was learning those lessons, it was like, why did we not do this? Why does motivation not just show up for us? Why am I standing in my way? What's going on here? The first one I got to was, I've done hard things before. Why is this somehow not reaching me, not happening? What's the difference between that, this hard thing, and any other hard thing that I've ever done? And then it hit me. It's like, well, it's commitment. All those other things I fully committed to. I took the CPA exam, which is actually probably one of the hardest professional exams. At the time, it definitely was.
Yeah.
The pass rate on the first try was like 10%. That's passing. It's not doing well. It's just passing the exam the first time was like 10%. But I had it in my head that I was going to pass this exam the first time. So what did that mean? That meant that I was every day and every night studying this damn thing, every waking hour. I even put cassette tapes playing under my bed when I went to sleep at night. And if I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, I'd flip the tape over. So it was when I realized that why I was able to do that hard thing and I wasn't doing this hard thing was I wasn't that committed. And another thing that happened around the same time was my daughter, she was 20 or 21, and she was getting into CrossFit. She had become a level one CrossFit coach, and she was doing these mud runs, and she was always talking to me about it. And then one day she said to me, Daddy, I'm going to do this competition. I want you to come watch. And I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I am not a spectator in my daughter's life. I'm a participant. If she wants to go do something like this, I should be able to go and do it with her. I am not going to be a spectator. You know, I'm not going to be the old grandpa sitting in the rocking chair or in his favorite chair watching the kids play on the floor or going to the park and having to stay on a bench while they run and see all the animals. And then I'm there as they're walking out of the zoo asking them what they saw. And so that was kind of the big trigger for me, was that commitment trigger that I'm meant to be somebody else. And the only way I'm going to do that is by committing.
Yeah. And what did you change? What mindset wise did you change to help get you, you know, obviously you were motivated by your daughter. I'd say that probably was a big, big proponent, but what else?
Okay. Well, there's two kind of core messages that I've pulled out, and it's really, I learned more of this by coaching others than from myself. At the time, you're so close to it. It's so hard to see what's tripping you up. Right. But the first one was mindset. And it was just an understanding that we go at this with a preconceived notion, an idea that defines us and blocks us. So one of the first things I went into was, well, I was a tremendous athlete when I was younger. I was in the infantry, in a very elite infantry, light infantry unit. And most of the guys in my unit were Rangers. I wasn't a Ranger yet, but I had to keep up with those guys. And so I'd been at this very elite level. So when I tried to train as a 40-year-old, guess what I would do? I would destroy myself and I wouldn't recover, or I'd actually injure myself and then I'd quit. And so I had this framework where I call it windshield now, where I spent more time looking in my rearview mirror than looking in my windshield and realizing where I am today and where I want to go. So I wasn't getting where I wanted to go because I kept looking back at the athlete I used to be. And I was approaching fitness and health from that perspective, and that was the wrong perspective. So when I kind of was working on my certifications, I'm like, okay, now I know why those things are happening. I got to check the ego, take that step back, start looking through the windshield. The second one I ran into was a mindset I call tires. And what tires is basically you need traction. So if you've ever lived in a northern part of a country up where it snows and ice and all that, you know, once you start driving up a hill that has some ice on it, you just keep going. Mm-hmm. You got to keep those tires on the road with traction. Just keep, don't hit that brake. Don't break that consistency. Don't try to speed up and don't try to slow down. Just keep going. And, but I would find myself going well for a while, and then I would lose consistency. A weekend would happen, like I'd have a bad meal, go out with friends, have some beers, and skip my workout on Saturday. Oh, well, I skipped out my workout. I may as well just enjoy my Saturday, do this and that, and then I miss my Sunday. And then before I know it, it's 2 weeks later, 2 months later, a year later. That's how I had lived my life for a long time, and I was into that now. I was trying, and I knew what I needed to do. I was no longer looking back, but I didn't have that consistency. So when I figured that out, I'm like, okay, now I've got consistency, but I'm still missing something. Like, why is this not easier? Why am I still blocking myself? Like, get some consistency, but I'm not pushing. I'm not really pushing myself, and I'm not growing. I'm not going outside of my comfort zone. So that's when I found that I was probably an atlas. Now, an atlas, what I'm talking about is not the Greek god, mm-hmm. but an actual atlas that is a book you would open up back in the old days. You may be too young for this, guys, but we used to have these books called atlases, maps. This is before GPS. And our family would pull out the book when we were going to go on a family vacation, and they would take a red felt marker and they would mark the path we were going to take. So we could see the direction we were going to go. We had that far vision.
Right.
And when I say this, we would drive across the United States for our vacations. We were, you know, way over on the East Coast. We drive all the way to the West Coast or vice versa. And so we would have the felt marker all the way around. This is how we're going to go over, and this is how we're going to come back. And so an atlas is someone who needs something big in front of them, a challenge that they can see something happening. And so what happened at that point was that's when my daughter had made the comment, you know, Daddy, I want you to come watch me. We did a little Warrior Dash thing, which is like a 5K mud run, but she left me. She left me in the dust because I couldn't keep up with her and her friends. I'm like, just go. And so she left, which was fine. But I wanted that challenge. So I called her up and said, hey, let's do a tough mudder. Now, a tough mudder is like 12 to 13 miles with like 25 obstacles. At the time, it was probably the most difficult civilian obstacle course you could do.
Yeah.
And I knew at the point when I was signing up, I'm like, I have no business signing up for this thing. There's no way I can even finish. But I wanted to finish. And I didn't want to just finish. I wanted to finish with my daughter, who is a level one CrossFit coach who's been doing these things for a while. So I started training in earnest. It's like, okay, I know how to train myself. I've been a coach long enough for myself that I know what works and what doesn't. I just need the consistency. I need to push. I need to be outside of my comfort zone every day.
Well, and Alan, oh no, go ahead. Sorry.
I did that for 8 months.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think two big points from that is one, consistency obviously is key, and having a target, like having something that'll sort of, that, like you said, you signed up for something that you probably didn't really need, you know, weren't ready for, at least at the moment. And that sort of put you into action, maybe put a little fire under you to get to make sure you're not like embarrassed and will finish the race sort of thing. I think those are two key things.
Right. For me particularly, because I am an Atlas now. That's my mindset is I need to have big things in front of me or I just flounder around. Like, okay, I guess I'll go lift. You know, it's like if you walk in, it's like you see someone who's basically in shape. They just walk in the gym and just start, they pick up a barbell here, do a couple curls, walk over there, maybe do a bench press. There's no rhyme or reason for what they're doing. They just know, okay, I need to be lifting, but I'm not lifting for any particular thing. But what ended up happening was I didn't want to just finish the race. I didn't want to just make it. I was like, I want to finish with my daughter. I don't want to slow her down. I don't want her to have to leave me or feel like she needs to leave me. I want to be able to go as hard as she goes and finish the race with her. And that's what I did. And so the payoff for me wasn't the 66 pounds of fat loss. The payoff was crossing the finish line with my daughter, holding her hand, knowing that I ran the same race she ran and we ran it together. And at this point I was now a participant and not a spectator.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and did this lead you to write your book, The Wellness Roadmap?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because at that point I lost the weight and I started the podcast and that was going well. I wrote the book in 2018. So when you came on my podcast, I was somewhere along the lines of writing or editing or about to publish, something like that was going on at that point in time. The basis is once I knew I was leaving my job, I got laid off in December of 2017. I told my wife, I'm not going back to that. This is my new path. I'm going to be an online trainer. There still weren't very many of us out there. Mm-hmm. Not many people were even talking about it. John Goodman, who's a big person in the development space for personal trainers, he just started talking about it. And so it was a brand new concept of being an online trainer. COVID hadn't happened. So again, there was not a lot of people saw it, but I was like, well, there's a lot of busy people that can't come to the gym or don't want to be at the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning because that's the slot you have open. So I was like, okay, I'll do this. The writing the book was kind of the putting all the concepts that were in my head that I'd learned training myself to help other people kind of follow along. So it's called The Wellness Roadmap, and that's really what it is. It just kind of gives you that idea of how do I set my own GPS? How do I get myself where I want to go? And then when I feel like I've gotten there, what do I do next?
Right.
And so it kind of does that it's just basically my path. Now, since I've coached a lot of people, I've come to understand not everybody is Alan Meisner. No. you know, we're all a little different. And so one of the things I'll do with my clients at the beginning is we'll talk about their why. We'll talk about what they're trying to accomplish and what does fitness look like for them. So it's not like, you know, I looked like I did CrossFit at the time that I did that Tough Mudder. I didn't. I did my own training. But CrossFit isn't the definition of fitness for everybody, or looking the lean runner or lean swimmer look isn't fitness for everybody. For some of us, it's just the ability to get on the floor and hang out with our grandchildren. For others, it's the ability to open our own pickle jar.
Yeah.
Or to wipe our own butt. Yeah. As weird as that sounds, that's fitness for what you need for your life. I call it fit for task. And it changes as we get older. You don't need to be able to do the jerk and the squat clean and all those different things.
Right.
You don't have to do that when you're older necessarily, but you may have to carry groceries then. Reach down and grab a bag of groceries. You might need to be able to hold your dog when it wants to run after another dog. And you need balance and you need mobility and you need speed. You need all those aspects, even when you get older. So you're independent and living the life that you're meant to live. Because it's no good for have longevity if you're living a very crappy old age.
What would you say, since you wrote that book, what's one thing you've changed your mind on? And that was in 2000.
Well, I was big into keto at the time because that's where I ended up. I started out about that time, paleo was the thing. And I did talk to a nutritionist. I had one meeting with a nutritionist. She handed me this stuff about paleo. And I read through it. And I said, okay, this makes sense. And so I did that. Now, the way I ate keto, I ended up in ketosis. I didn't even know what it was at the time. I'm like, what's going on with my breath and, you know, my pee and what? I don't know. I feel like good. So I know I'm not bad, but like, why would my breath smell like that? Why would it taste like that? And so I started researching and I was in keto, and that helped me be able to drop the weight. My body was in a fat burning mode almost all the time. I was pushing myself outside my comfort zone every single day. And that's how my body responded very well to it. It's not that in my book I say that you need to be doing keto, but I just say it's a tool. It's a way to do it. And so as I've gone on and I've interviewed over 400 people who have written health and fitness books, intermittent fasting is a great tool. I think that's what we actually talked about. Keto is a great tool. Vegan can be a great tool. All these different ways. And so as I started talking, particularly to people that were big in the food space, like a nutrition space, and there were doctors and nutritionists, they would say, well, no, my way of eating is the best. And I'd say, okay, well, why? It's like, well, because they're eating crap. They're eating stuff out of boxes. You know, they're eating all those bad foods. You know, they're not eating whole food. I'm like, okay. So if they ate whole food, well, no, you can't eat the meat and stuff. Okay, cool. But it's the reason yours is superior is because it's whole food. It's like, yeah, because they're eating red meat and processed meat. I'm like, well, they're two different things, but okay. And that's why I was coming from a keto framework. And I started realizing, okay, the people in keto or carnivore, they're saying the same thing. Well, they're eating the cookies and the crap, the cereals. And so, yeah, that's not healthy either. I'm like, okay, so yours is really just about whole food. It's like, yeah, it's kind of hard to mess up carnivore. It's all, and I said, well, there's bacon and others. Yeah, okay, well, it's less processed, so maybe not the best. So it's really whole food. And you start thinking back, it's like, why was there no obesity 200 years ago or hardly any? Because nothing was in a box, bag, jar, or can. Nothing. Refrigeration had just been invented. So we were eating food. Right. And it wasn't in a box, bag, jar, or can. It wasn't highly processed. And it wasn't sugar-laden. We're eating, 152 pounds of sugar on average per year. We used to eat less than two pounds of sugar in a year. Fruits and vegetables weren't available. Certain fruits and vegetables weren't available year round.
So mainly single ingredient foods has sort of been your, and you know, obviously you did keto and some paleo back then. And so you one thing that you've changed is you realize that most foods are probably fine as long as there's not a lot of added ingredients and these.
Because one thing people will think, okay, well, when you say keto, I can't eat fruit. Well, it's not true.
Right.
You can eat fruit and stay in ketosis, but you can't eat much fruit or you'll go out of ketosis. But here's the thing. Being in keto all the time isn't necessarily an answer for everybody either. Right. So maybe there's some times where you're like, okay, well, it's winter. How much fruit would be available in the northern climates in the winter? Like none. We'd maybe have some roots. So potatoes, carrots, things like that. We'd have gourds and stuff that just finished and now we're eating on those. So pumpkin and other things, squash maybe. And then it's gone. And now we're eating more in what's a keto carnivore style with fish and eggs and meat. But that's how things were. And we're trying to I can buy fruit any day of the year and we're eating it. And then there's a box and it says healthy on it. I mean, it literally calls itself healthy something. And so I think it is just realizing that all these things are tools. Intermittent fasting is a great tool. Keto is a great tool. Vegan can be a great tool. all of it is, if you just know why it's working the way it's working, then you can kind of work those things around. And so I can go into ketosis and I know I could still have a certain amount of fruit. I can still have some carbohydrates, and I'm not going to go out of keto if that's the tool I want to use. If I want to cut a little bit of weight, I still use keto as the tool.
Yeah,
but almost always am just eating, like you said, it's almost single ingredient food. So it's meat and vegetables.
Right. And that's the thing. It. Yeah. Right. I would agree. I think there's a lot of ways to get it done. You know, I've had Dr. DiAgostino on, who's a big keto guy. He's even mentioned the fact that long-term ketosis is probably not the best way to go anyways. I think
So
coming in and out of it makes sense. I've had Jay Feldman on, and I mean, there's many ways to sort of get to the same outcome. But I think the one underlying thing that, like, I think you're saying, Alan, is no boxes and barcodes. Avoid them as much as possible, right? Like, it's not about being perfect, but I think 80% of the time, if you can have single ingredient foods, I think, you know, that's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. It solves a fundamental problem that, Well, this is hard. And I'm like, no, it's not as hard as you think. Everything you need is probably sold at your local farmer's market.
Right.
You know, and you're like, well, okay, the farmer's markets usually don't open in the winter. Well, why is that? Because there's no vegetables or fruits being grown. And so they close the farmer's market because there's no produce. So there's probably times when we would have just been almost totally carnivore. Okay. But we know we can't stay carnivore because there's things we're not getting. We know we can't stay vegan because everybody in the northern climates would just starve to death if it wasn't being shipped from a southern climate.
And now, go ahead. I was going to say, now you're in the Caribbean, right?
Yeah.
You're in a Caribbean island. So
you can eat pineapples everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. You probably eat fruit all year round. Obviously, you can eat fruit all year round most places, but for you, it's probably more natural now that you're in a Caribbean island.
Yeah. It's grown right here. There's no real reason now. Things I do want that I miss. I can't buy Brussels sprouts here because that's a cold weather.
I don't miss those
vegetable. Okay, well I'm weird.
That's okay. Hey,
yeah. But you know, there's things I can't get here, and there's things we can. We'll have them shipped in, and it's not that all of our food is locally grown, but most of it is, and that's just, you know, because we can. It's here, and it's, you know, it's a local farmer growing this stuff. That's why I'm such a fan of co-ops and farmers markets. You can actually talk to the people who are growing your food, raising your food, preparing your food, getting it ready for you. And when you do, they love talking about the place. They love it. So can I come see? It's like, yeah. So what do you feed them? How do you run? You can just see. You see the chickens are running around the yard. They're not in a factory. And you know those chickens are getting all the nutrients. They're eating the bugs. They're doing the thing. There's no such thing as a vegetarian chicken. It doesn't make it healthier. That's just a label. They say, oh, these are vegetarian chickens, so they're healthier. Like, no. Oh, these chickens have omega-3. It's like, no, you fed them omega-3. That's not what they would eat. Yes, they would peck on a fish. If they found a fish on the side of the, you know, river or pond, yeah, they'd peck on that fish. They'd also eat the flies that were flying around it. So, you know, yeah, the food's better. And so, but that said, you have to make that choice because our grocery stores also have potato chips and, you know, plantain chips and cookies and crackers and breads and all that stuff's still here. So you still have to make the choice of what you put in your mouth. And that's why I say, when I had that mindset of, oh, I've got a place to be, I have to push myself outside the comfort zone. If saying no to pizza is hard for you, that's a comfort zone line. You push on the other side of it. Doesn't mean you stay over there all the time,
right?
But you at least push that boundary and say, hey, I can say no to pizza, or I can say no to a whole pizza. I can have a slice or two of pizza, and that's not going to kill me.
Right.
It's not serving me in some ways, but it could be serving me very well in another way. If I want to go out with my friends and they say, hey, we're just going to go get some beer and pizza, I'm not going to say no to my friends. Like, oh, no, that I don't do pizza and I don't do beer. Now I'm going to go there and I'm going to have the best beer I can have, and I'm going to order the best pizza, and I'm only going to eat two slices, and I'm going to give the rest of it away.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not about being perfect. I will say that if you are just starting out, that, you know, you want to go a time period where you're pretty regimented, because I think what sometimes happens early on with people, I don't know, Alan, your opinion is, they can fall off the bandwagon pretty quick. Like they lose that traction that you yeah. talk about, as opposed to like yourself or myself, who's been, who has these healthy eating habits for so long that, oh yeah, if they go out for pizza, whatever, the next day they're back on it, you know, back eating, yeah. you know, the good foods. Yeah. So it, I think it well, also depends where you out in your, where you are in your journey.
Yeah. Here's how I like to class this. Okay. So I want you to think about this. Okay. Sometimes we can get in the Italian sports car. If the road is straight, there's no speed bumps, there's no potholes, there's no detours. We can just get in a Ferrari and just haul it. Okay. But sometimes we've got to carry some stuff with us. We got some baggage. We got a vacation coming up, a birthday coming up. They're going to want us to have a piece of cake at their birthday. You know, it's my daughter or my mother or my sister. They're going to say, have a piece of cake. Come on, we're going to go pizza. So sometimes I've got these obstacles and things in my way. So there's speed bumps, there's detours. That means I have to have something to carry that baggage, that stuff. And so that means I'm in a pickup truck. Now, pickup truck can still move forward pretty fast, but not like the Ferrari. And we got a lot more things to traverse. Now, sometimes you've got all kinds of stuff. You've got family issues. You're taking care of your mother. You're taking care of your kids. You got this issue and that issue. It makes it very, very difficult for you to get things done. And you got to get in the minivan. And you got to go a little slower. Now, the thing about all that is all of these vehicles are moving at different speeds, but they're all moving forward. And you have the key to all three. So there's times you're going to get in the Ferrari and just haul it. And there's times you need to be in the minivan. And all you have to decide is what is the best car for me to be in today for what I have in front of me today. And if today's a Ferrari day, cool. If today's a minivan day, cool. If today's a truck day, cool. But what you did that day was you made the positive decisions based on what your lifestyle and needs were that day. And so lifestyle doesn't get in the way. It is the way. It's the road. It's the road you're on. And sometimes you're going to say, well, I got to pull off on this detour because I want this thing. You know, my wife and I are going to go to Italy and Greece for our anniversary in May. Okay. Am I going to go strict keto while I'm in Italy and Greece? No. It's a cruise. Am I going to just forego all this? No. I'm going to drink some Italian wine. I'm going to drink, I guess, Greek wine. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy myself. When the detour is over, I'm going to get back on the road. So during that period of time, I'm in a minivan. I'm still going to look for opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of walking to do and a lot of things to do. So I'll stay active. There's a gym on the cruise ship. You know, I'll still generally make decent food choices because, like you said, it's kind of ingrained in me. I'm looking at the food. I'm like, what is that? If I think it's going to taste great, I'll eat it. But if not, it's like, okay, well, I'll get a Greek salad. I don't know what a real Greek salad tastes like. You get to choose which car you're in. And then you get to have the plan going into the detour and back onto the highway. And that's the life. That's the road of life. And it doesn't get in your way. You can't say that's the problem. The problem is you just didn't choose the right car. When you choose the right car, then you set the right expectations. I can't expect to make up the ground and go as fast in a minivan as I could in the Ferrari. But that's the car I have to be in. So there's no sense of me being upset that I didn't do the Ferrari today if I just couldn't do the Ferrari. So you get those expectations. Now you don't get mad at yourself and think I failed. And we don't use the good, bad, or bandwagon. There's no bandwagon, just the road. And as long as you're in the car you're supposed to be in, then you've made the best choice for yourself and your life. And you just keep moving forward.
I love that. That's a great analogy. I never really wanted to drive a minivan, so I'm going to stay away from that. But
well, if you don't need to, you don't need to. That's the other side of it. It's like, if you know, it's like, there's no reason for me to be in a minivan. Why am I in a minivan? Then you can have that adult decision. I say it to my clients all the time. You know, you're a grown ass man, you know, or you're a woman. You make choices every day, and to not do something is a choice. You know, so if you chose to be in the minivan today, and that's what you did, well, should you have been in a pickup truck? Should you have been in a Ferrari? And we all want to be in the Ferrari all the time, but that's not also not the responsible thing. You injure yourself. Your sole job is to recuperate, to get better, to do the rehab, to do the work that you need to get back on the road, which means now you're in the minivan or you're in the pickup. And that's just because that's the vehicle you have to be in.
How do you navigate your clients with exercising as they get older, and what types of things do you implement? Because obviously, you know, I'm in my 40s, you're, what are you, How old are you now, Alan?
I'm actually, I turned 58 just a week ago.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. How do you navigate fitness for yourself and for your clients as they get older?
You know, it's a very interesting thing because so many of us come in and like I said, I had that windshield kind of mindset and I want to get out there and do something stupid. Like say, I want to be able to deadlift 400 pounds, right. You know, again, 500 pounds, you know, I was 51. I'm like, I want to be able to deadlift this. I want to be able to do that. And so there are times when I've let my ego get in the way and I've done more than I was supposed to do. And then my body reminds me, you're not 20 anymore, dude. So cut it out. So yes, with my clients, I do want to be very specific about where they are today. And then we do the gentle nudges from there. So I'll give you two different examples. So I have one client, she told me at the beginning, she had difficulty walking to her car in the morning. She'd get winded just walking out to her driveway to get into her car.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, I said, here's what your workout is. I said, your workout for this week is twofold. One was the other with her granddaughter. I told her, I'm struggling with my granddaughter. So I'm sitting in a chair watching her play. And then she gets up and runs in another room. And then I have to try to catch her, you know, before she does something. And I said, okay, well, you know, we'll deal with that. But this workout was this. I said, okay, you're struggling to get to your car. So tomorrow, when you get ready to go to work, I want you to walk to your car. And then I want you to do one lap around it. And then you can get in your car. And I said, it's going to be hard because if you're already getting winded walking the car, now you're pushing a little past that. A gentle nudge. She did that for about 3 or 4 days. And then we were talking. She said, I can get around. And it's like, I'm not breathing as heavy when I finish and get in the car. I'm like, okay, next time it's two laps. So now she's doing two laps around her car when she gets to her car. Within about 3 weeks, she's walking the neighborhood. She's going on regular walks. And she would never have done that before. She's like, I didn't think I would even, like, if you were to hold me, I need to go for a walk. She said, I would have told you you're out of your mind. But just by doing a lap and then two laps and then three laps around her car, she built up enough stamina and enough confidence that she just started going for walks. Okay. Yeah. So I have a client at that level. Now I have another client that I worked with and he was going to go out on this massive bike ride with his friends. Now all of his friends were about 10 years younger than him. And this was like a 140-mile ride. And these were the kind of friends that you really want to have in your life because they're the ones that leave your ass if you can't keep up with them. And if you know anything about bike riding, you know that, okay, one person gets in the lead and others draft, and you take turns doing that. So one of his fears was that he wouldn't be able to keep up with the group. The other fear he had was that he wouldn't be able to take the lead and keep the pace that they had all agreed they were going to keep. And again, all these guys are 10 years younger than him. So he knows that if he loses about 15 pounds and he works on his performance, he might be able to do that. And so that's what we did. We helped him lose the 15 pounds. We improved his nutrition. So he seemed to have a lot more energy. And then we pushed power and stamina into his bike riding. He was using an app called Strava to measure all this stuff.
And what's the app called?
Strava.
Strava.
Okay. It was really popular a few years back. I don't know if it's still the most popular bike app that people use, but it's a pretty good one. And so he was using that and he was keeping up with the power output and understanding, okay, how much am I pushing? When am I not pushing? So we various training, but it was really about the weight loss for him. But he was building this performance. And then when he went out with his friends, they didn't get to leave him behind because he kept up and he was able to take his point position when it was time and keep the pace. And he enjoyed the heck out of the race. This wasn't something that beat him to death. 140 miles on a bike would beat me to death right now because I'm not at that fitness level for that thing. Yeah. But for him, that was it. So for her, it was getting down and up off the ground with her granddaughter. For him, and then being able to walk to her car and not get winded. And so those were changes that these folks made to fundamentally change themselves. And they did it all the way through the same way. It's a gentle nudges. Where's my comfort zone? Just a little past it today. Not rest bad. And recover. Pass that. So some of us will need more rest and recovery. Some of us will need to go a lot slower and do something simple. You know, if he had told me he was getting winded walking to his car, but he wanted to be able to do a 140-mile bike ride in 5 months, I'd have told him he was out of his mind.
yeah.
Well, and so I think each client needs to do their thing. You know, you have to do your thing.
And I think one point there is like surrounding yourself with people who are where you want to be. I think it's really important, you know, get, you know, that's why I think, like you said, CrossFit early on with your daughter, that's why CrossFit has become so big is because the community, it's the people and it just becomes like a lifestyle. And so any type of group atmosphere, I think, is important, especially starting out, yeah, just to get you going.
Yeah, I sat down, I've worked with lots of people, and I sat down and started thinking, because one of the complaints I get is I'm just not motivated.
Right.
I lack the willpower. I'm not disciplined. You know, those words, resolutions. When we do a January, I did a resolution. I'm like, okay, well, now we're sitting here in February, March. How are you? How'd it go? Oh, I quit. I quit week three, man. Yeah. Of course you did, because you were waiting for motivation to come to you. And motivation doesn't work that way. Motivation comes from doing. So here's the deal. You have extrinsic motivation, which is things that come from outside you, and you have intrinsic motivation, which are things that you do. Okay, they're inside you. Now, the extrinsic's easier because you can hire a coach, and they're your leader, they're your drive. So there's some support and guidance, but it's accountability. You hire a coach, you get accountability. Okay, the group thing, which you're talking about, is joining a class. It could be a CrossFit class, it could be Zumba, it could be a swim thing, it could be a run thing, but you join something where there's other people who like what you're all doing it together. So now there's a level of accountability. Well, Sue and Jane are going to be there, and Dave, they're always there. They're 5 o'clock class at CrossFit. Guess what I am? I'm going to be there because that's my class, 5 o'clock. And then you still get to know those guys, and they become a part of your social network. So you've got this social level of accountability. So leader level is the coach. Social is these clubs. And it can be Facebook. You know, you can mm-hmm. join a Facebook group and say, okay, all of these other people are working to improve themselves. I'm motivated by that, being with those people. Then on the intrinsic, you do have a leader level, and that's yourself, and that's self-management. So the whole point being is, I need to work out. I want to train for this thing. To do that, I need to get up in the morning. So fix your bag the night before, set your alarm, get up, go do the thing. Self-management. You start doing that. Now, after and that's self-efficacy. So it's not accountability anymore. This is you, self-efficacy, doing it yourself for yourself. You may still involve a coach. You may still involve people, but you're making the decisions. You're getting yourself ready. You're getting rid of all the excuses that might get in the way. Pack my bag the night before. Have it by the door so I don't forget it.
Right.
All those things. Marking my calendar that I'm going to do this thing at this time. Meeting with the boss. I'm going to be there. Self-management. And then the strongest and best motivation is the social motivation at the intrinsic level. And that's where your values and your habits now define the actions that you take. And you begin to identify as that person. So when someone first goes and says, joins CrossFit, they don't consider themselves a CrossFitter. Then they start doing the classes. They start enjoying them. They start getting along with people. And after doing, they become habits. Okay, I'm in the 5 o'clock class. I go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And they start doing it. And then at some point, they say, I'm a CrossFitter. You hear it also a lot with runners. So a runner will say, you know, they'll start out and say, well, I want to run, just start. So they start some kind of little thing, I can walk for 30 minutes. And like, I'll add a little jog. And then someone says, well, you should do a 5K. And they're like, what's that? Like, so they say, okay. So they get one of those programs, the couch to 5K thing, and they start doing it. And then they go run their first 5K. Now, they didn't run the whole thing. They ran walk, but then they get done. And they're like, I'm a runner. I'm a runner. Okay. And you get the same thing across food. So it's like people say, well, I'm a vegan, or I'm a carnivore, or I'm keto.
Right.
And they begin to self-identify. That level of self-efficacy breaks everything, because it's like, well, no, I'm not going to eat the piece of cake because I'm this. Of course, I'm going to get up and go for a run because I'm a runner. Now, the person that has the best motivation is someone who has feet in all four quadrants. I've got a coach to make me better at this. I've got a group of people that support me and love me and challenge me. I've got the self-management to show up and do the thing, and I identify. So I feel like that's my habits, it's my values, it's built everything I am. So you have the self-efficacy and the accountability. You put that all together, motivation never goes away. You're not waiting on it. You're doing to have it. And so that's where they think people make the mistake, is I'll be motivated on Monday. Dude, it's Thursday. What are you going to do in the meantime? Well, you know, probably have some beers and pizza and all that kind of stuff. It's like, okay, so you're going to start on Monday. Yeah. And then Monday, guess what? Motivation just didn't show up. The alarm went off. You hit snooze. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen. Okay. And so that's why motivation is a do thing and not a wait thing.
Yeah. Love that. And what would you say some of the biggest I don't know, obstacles you mentioned for your clients? You know, they make, a lot of people like to make excuses. What are some of the things that get in the way of people reaching their goals? I mean, you've already mentioned a few already.
Yeah. The big one's self-sabotage.
Yeah.
We are our worst enemy, you know, and a lot of that's about mindset. A lot of that's about waiting for motivation. So you start putting these things into practice, you start the doing, a lot of that'll go away, but you got to start, you know, it's like, just start, do something. Yeah, that's it. Don't self-sabotage. If, you know, you wake up and you're sore, like I did this new workout and now I've got all the DOMS and stuff and I'm reading about it. Am I going to die? And I'm hurting every muscle. I don't even want to move. And then I don't move and it hurts even worse when I get up again. And so you don't know you're going through this. So that's why, again, a coach could be a good thing because some guidance and support there. But we get in our way. We look for reasons to not. We do something silly and then we're out. And so it's that first thing is the self-sabotage. And then the second one is the other saboteurs. There are people who will not like you changing. Like, you know, I meet you in the bar every every Monday, Friday, you know, Monday through Friday, we're always at the bar at 6 o'clock. And now you don't come along as much. Right. What happened? You know, it's the person in the office that knows you're losing weight. And suddenly they put a candy jar on their desk, you know,
right. But
where does candy jar come from? It's like, well, yeah, I thought it'd be nice if I had candy in the office for people. Or, hey, it's donuts in a break room. You should come join us for donuts in the break room. And then you don't go to the break room. So it's like, they come back with the napkin. It's like, hey, I brought you a donut, you know, and some of them care. So don't think they're all evil after you. Some of them are real, they see you and they're disappointed in themselves.
Right.
So the best way to fix that disappointment is to break you. They're not going to change themselves. They'll change you. Then the other thing is sometimes they do care. So you may notice, okay, I changed the way I'm eating. I'm losing weight. Suddenly my mom is saying, you know, you're getting too skinny. You know, that keto is going to kill you. You're going to have a heart attack. You shouldn't be eating red meat. You're going to have a heart attack and die. It's like, okay, mom, what research have you done? Well, everybody knows you eat red meat, you're going to get cancer and heart attack and die. Right. So they're not always trying to
not informed.
They're either not informed, but they believe they're doing the best thing. They're trying to help you, right. You know? And so just making sure that you are aware of those individuals and where they're coming from.
Right.
You know, and that way then you can say, okay, well, look, I hear you. Acknowledge them. You know, I hear you. And I know you just have my best interests in mind. But I have to try this, okay? I have to do this, so please support me. No, yeah. I don't have an eating disorder because I'm doing intermittent fasting.
And that support community is so huge, right? And sometimes you got to sort of do it on your own or do it with some people that are going to be supportive, and the ones that aren't, you got to sort of just let them go. Let them go. Or well, just
so if you can. Yeah, if you can. I mean, you're not going to fire your mom.
No. No, you're not. But yeah. Well, this was great, Alan. 40 plus fitness podcast. Love it. You're still running strong. Author of The Wellness Roadmap. And I'm jealous because you live in the Caribbean. I was just looking up your island, so I might have to check that out. And you run a bed and breakfast there too.
Yeah, we also run a bed and breakfast. Yeah. It's Lula's bed and breakfast. So Lula BB, so LulaBB.com. You can see some pictures of the place. You can book a room. Come on down.
That's awesome.
Enjoy yourself. Especially if it's cold up there. Guess what? It never gets below 70 degrees here, ever. Never gets above 90 degrees, hardly ever.
Really? Wow. sounds pretty perfect. Sounds pretty
perfect.
Well,
it's the thing, you know, everybody says, well, I'm just going to sell everything and move to a Caribbean island. And I wouldn't encourage everybody to do that, but it is doable. It's still out here if you want to do it. And we don't get hurricanes here. So that's another big plus.
That's true.
Where our choice was. But, if you set up a website to just kind of make this easy for folks to find the things we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. If you'll go to 40plusfitness.com, that's 40plusfitness.com/Brian.
Oh,
that's going to take you to a page just for this podcast.
Nice.
And you can get there and there'll be links to the book, links to the podcast, some other stuff that we've talked about, just some guidelines. So you kind of see what's there. Also, I talked about that mindset. I only named three of them. There's actually five that I've identified. So if you want to know what your mindset is right now, you can take a short quiz. It's free. It takes like 60 seconds and it'll give you some insight into what your mindset block could be. But if you know your mindset block, you can structure your life so that it becomes a superpower.
Oh,
you know, I was wandering around aimlessly because I was an Atlas with no goal. As soon as I set the goal, I lit the fire. Okay, but you can't light the fire if you're still looking at who you were when you were that. So I had to get rid of the windshield thing first. Then I got, you know, and I didn't know I was doing this. This all kind of just happened. But after looking at tons and tons of clients, I've seen, okay, you get through that first one, it's a groundswell. And then you can hit a second one or third one if you have them. And if those are the things that are blocking you, and you can turn them into superpowers. And that's how I was able to lose 66 pounds of fat and gain 11 pounds of muscle.
Excellent. And I'll definitely put links in the show notes for people to check that out. I'll ask you one last question. I asked pretty much all my guests, if you were going to give one tip to an individual who's looking to get their body or their mind back to what it once was 10, 15 years ago, what one tip would you give them?
Well, recognize that everything you do, everything you eat, everything you think, everything that's going on around you. So how well are you sleeping, your stress, your exercise, all of that, it has to be unique to you. But all of it is communication to your body. If you're treating your body well, you're telling it it's safe. It's safe to get stronger and build muscle. It's safe for you to lose weight. It's safe for you to sleep through the night. It's safe for you to be healthy and fit and everything you're meant to be. Too often, we just get all tied up in the, well, what should I eat, or what should my movement be, or what? Your body will tell you if you just shut up and listen. Okay. So you know where your comfort zone is. You know where your line is almost always. Just push a little past that. And your body's going to reward you because it's going to say, oh, we're safe. He's out moving around. There's nobody out there that's going to harm us. It's okay to lose this weight. I don't need my cortisol level through the roof. I can actually live a healthy life and enjoy myself. So every action you take is information. What you're eating, what you're drinking, what you're doing, it's all information for your body to make decisions on how to treat you and how healthy you can be. So just, if you're thinking about that, just be kind to yourself.
Love that. Love that. All right, Alan. I appreciate all the knowledge you dropped today. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Brian. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
And have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast. I understand there are millions of other podcasts out there, and you've chosen to listen to mine, and I appreciate that. Check out the show notes at briangrin.com for everything that was mentioned in this episode. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend or family member that's looking to get their body back to what it once was. Thanks again, and have a great day.